Okay, gang, we're all here together. Put your phones on silent. No texting. It's time to pop till we drop. My name is Alex Goddard.
And I'm Tess Weinberg.
I'm Shelby Thomason.
Who even knows what we've got cooked up this week for you? Tess, I heard you want to talk a little bit, maybe, about the 90s?
Thinking about it, we'll see.
It's just like the rumor mill here, like the Twin Cities rumor mill.
Shelby, I hear that you're going to be talking about some new movie genre, cli-fi perhaps?
Sci-fi, rom-com, we don't really know, I don't really know. I think that Alex is going to talk about social media something.
Hashtag thing. Whatever.
Hashtag we'll see.
Hashtag maybe.
Oh, hashtag TBD. Stay tuned, it's Pop Till We Drop. I recently got a new job, like officially in marketing. Previously, oh, thank you. Previously, I had been in like the journalism world. And so, you know, I was doing like my social media and it would be like, write a tweet about, I don't know, some like new boutique that's opening in like St. Louis Park or something. So my hashtags would be like boutique. And like no one paid attention to hashtag boutique. No one even paid attention to hashtag like Edina,
right?
Or like Maple Grove. But all of a sudden in this new marketing job, I'm working with like established kind of like national hashtags, brand names, mm-hmm. and people really care. It's freaking me out. People like take the hashtag and they run with it. And it's like, I didn't tell you to do that, guys. It's freaking me out a little bit. All the things they tell you about social media being powerful, it's true.
It's true.
It's true when you have the right hashtag.
Yeah.
So do you feel really powerful?
I do. I just feel validated because I spent so many years making those stupid, no offense, old employer hashtags that were just like fashion, restaurants, dining. And it's like, no, you know, that's not very like site specific.
Right.
But no,
yeah.
One's gonna, you know.
There are so many of those.
No one was picking up.
So can you give me an example of one that's worked for you? Because in my mind, I can only think of ones that I've seen people run with as like political ones. But I guess in like the media world, I can't.
Sure. I mean, like, were there any successful ones when I was doing it for journalism or as, like, a brand?
Because, I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, one of the brands I work for is a apple variety.
Okay.
So, last week I thought I was making up the hashtag. Turns out it already existed. Hashtag Fruit Friday. And just posted a picture of, like, an apple.
That's funny.
Like, are you in an apple? Ha,
that's
ha, ha.
Funny, though.
And people were like, yeah, I am. I sure am eating an apple. And it's like, oh, thank you for responding to my question, you know. Nobody ever responds to questions on social media,
right.
I feel
right.
like. But they were really into it. I was impressed. I was, like, so jaded on social media for a long time, you know. But people were, like, into it. People were taking a bite out of it.
It seems like maybe you're, from where you're tweeting now, the platform of which you're tweeting from, you have a larger audience. So maybe it's, like, that's part of it as
yeah,
well?
It's. I mean, it's a little bit bigger. It's just, like, the people... I don't know. I mean, if we're talking like brand identification, it's like moms and then apples in terms of like things people love. You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, it's not cigarettes or something. It's not guns. It's like it's apples. You know, everybody loves an apple. Even people.
Well,
on social media.
No one doesn't hate an apple, or no one hates an apple.
Sure.
Right. Whereas people like hate guns and cigarettes, but also people love guns and cigarettes. But.
Sure. You're really like splitting the audience on those. Apples are just
right, exactly.
You either love them or you're like, I like it. Yeah.
Sure, fruit.
I don't know.
Speaking of the jadedness, I used to be super jaded on social media too, and I would like tweet questions that I knew no one would answer, and like I would just start doing stupid stuff because like no one's going to answer me, so I'm just going to ask this rhetorical question that no one's going to answer anyway.
Sure.
And, like, recently, because, you know, I'm lucky or more my friends got on social media, I don't know, I have more followers. Not that many, but,
ooh.
Like, more. Right. And so if I use a hashtag or, like, do, like, at something, people will respond to me, which has made it a lot more fun now that I know that they work, depending on the hashtag. And pro tip. Hashtag pro tip.
There we go.
For all of you out there who want more followers, if you hashtag like diet or hashtag keywords, you're going to get a lot more followers.
They might not stick around for very long.
Right. But They'll be there for
but
like
it'll boost your
2 days
for a
it'll,
short period of time.
It'll boost your clout score.
Yeah,
for
you
like
can
2 days.
You can con them if you're like about to get a job that revolves around social media.
No, oh,
just
yeah.
spam your feed so it's like all of a sudden like, oh, 5,000 followers, cool, wow. It's like they're all gone 2 days after you get hired. But at least the you know,
yeah, it looks
it
good.
Looks like you know how to build an audience.
I was at the Twins game yesterday, and they're starting to do like the Instagram and Twitter hashtags.
Oh yeah,
they have them up on some big board. I don't know what the technical term is. And I was wondering if from that people get followers. You know what I mean?
Oh, like,
sure. I was wondering.
I bet they do. I bet, especially when it's used for events.
Yeah. Because I saw, I was like, oh, I know that person. And then I went to my phone. I was like, oh, I should follow them. And I was why would I follow them?
Right. Whoa. Well, I've gotten a couple. Ooh, that was kind of a harsh thing to your friend. Did you just say my friend?
Well, no, it was like a friendly acquaintance, someone I knew from college. I saw them up on the board and I didn't follow them. And then I went to my phone to follow them. And then I thought to myself, I'm not already following this person.
Yeah.
Why would I? Yeah, they're dead to me. I don't know them anymore.
I mean, for maybe like the last 2 or 3 years, I've worked in jobs where like social media is work, so I don't use it as much in my personal life anymore. Like, I don't really tweet. You know, what am I going to tweet about? There's nothing to tweet about. I'm sorry. But for a while, I was a really bad offender of like stupid joke hashtags, you know, like when people make a tweet that's just all a hashtag.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, just like one.
Yep. One long hashtag.
Yeah. A lot of that. A lot of like stupid, you know, I can't even name any examples. I thought they were so funny at the time, but they're not. But I have discovered, do you guys follow Nancy Grace on Twitter? Anybody?
No.
She's like
no.
the queen of hashtags. She's the CNN headline news, right. You know,
sure.
crime, true crime
okay.
host. But her tweets are effing insane. They're like, okay, so here's a Nancy Grace tweet. And so now my personal Twitter feed is literally just Nancy Grace retweets because there's no, you know, there's nothing I'm going to say that can top things like this. I can't believe my eyes. Mommy drives her minivan into the ocean as her children allegedly scream, Mommy's trying to kill us. Hashtag ocean mom.
Like, that's,
yeah, for real.
Is she joking?
What?
No. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's like they've hired
ocean
the world.
Ocean mom?
Ocean mom. Like they've hired the greatest social media person in the world. I'm trying to find one that's not like especially sad. Okay. A child was allegedly, good journalism skills there, found handcuffed with a dead chicken around his neck, allegedly kept prisoner in his own home, hashtag chained to chicken.
No way.
Way. Like, these are things that people tweet.
Let me see your phone.
Oh, yeah, it's all
give
there.
To me.
It's all wonderful.
It's all there.
Yeah.
I think it's hard because, you know, there is the whole sarcastic way of using hashtags, mm-hmm. and then obviously the more, like, newsworthy, mm-hmm. productive ways of using hashtags. And it's kind of like if you send a text to your friend and you're sending it in a sarcastic tone, but it could sound super mean. It's like you don't know, you know, and everything in text form, it's hard to decide if it's sarcastic or not.
I feel
and
like,
then we're supposed to know, you know, we're the generation that's supposed to know if it's funny and sarcastic.
And clearly,
clearly, we don't.
Yeah, in that situation where you're like, texting something really mean to a friend, but it's a joke.
Right.
I feel like a hashtag goes a long way to clarify like the amount of irony you mean in that.
Right.
Or the same thing with emoji, you know, like you can tell very wonderful stories through emojis that if you were to type it out, it would look, you know, it would sometimes come off wrong.
Right. Emojis are the best thing to happen to texting.
They are. I wish there were more. There's some very clear like missing emojis.
Yeah.
There's no taco.
There's
no bed.
Oh. Well, Time asked their readers which ones they need, and Taco was one of them. So Time's on it. They're probably talking to like all the phone.
Whoever creates emojis.
Also, you know, there's like all the hand signals.
Yeah.
I think that there should be some like one flicking someone off. Like
that one could come in handy
so many times.
That one should be there. Yeah. The one that Time magazine had said was super popular was Edward Snowden. A little picture of like Edward Snowden.
Oh, sure. That.
Used instead of parents over shoulder.
Sure.
I think is what they said. And I was like, I mean, that's kind of a stretch, especially because like kids who are going to use the parents over shoulder emoji probably don't know who Edward Snowden is.
Sure. Right? I feel like hashtags will either, like the there will be like a component of people who just hate hashtags and just completely drop out, and like we'll be left with this like really serious core of like solid information, or it'll go completely the other way where it's like every word is a hashtag.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like the word yeah. the is a hashtag.
I think yeah. it's gonna go that way. But
yeah. I mean, there are, you know, there have been some cool, like, actually legitimately helpful, like, social movements and, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, well, the one
like,
that's...
causes, like, the Yes All Women, all women. Hashtag.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
That's a great hashtag. That's a great use
yeah.
of...
I saw the hashtag before I heard about the news event, because I was traveling that whole day, so I didn't know what happened, like, what event was linked to that.
Oh,
and so
sure.
I actually saw the hashtag, and that brought me to the news story.
Sure,
so
yeah.
in that way, it's really cool, because right. it's disseminating information as well as creating a movement. And mm-hmm. I think that that was like the coolest use I had ever seen of that. The other thing that I read something about hashtags. I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with it, but it's just an idea. But that people feel like they're contributing to a movement in a meaningful way mm. by, you know,
by hashtagging something.
Yes, all women, or hashtag
bring back our girls.
You know? So
yeah.
they feel mm-hmm. like they're doing something really proactive. When in the past they would maybe donate money to a cause or
sure.
actually go mm-hmm. to like, you know, I don't know, a food shelter and help versus just hashtagging it.
Sure.
So like, is that
well,
a productive means of...
The problem there is asking your like those people or asking yourself whether those people would have actually done that, because the people
right.
who are going to donate money or go to a food shelter and actually help probably will still do that. Like, they probably won't
better.
Hashtag something.
Sure.
I didn't say that.
You're just better.
I didn't say that they were just better people. I just said that they'd probably
no,
do
I said
that regardless.
That.
But I don't know. I mean, it, you know, it could kind of erase some of the drive that somebody would otherwise have.
Right.
Once they hashtag, they're like, all right, well, now I don't have to think about the world anymore, so.
Go back to Netflix.
Yeah, I guess I'll binge watch some more.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, it was like when like text donations, you know, became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was, you know, a legitimately useful
oh, yeah.
advance of technology.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there has been some study to determine whether or not that actually had an effect on people who are, you know, like writing a $50 check as opposed to texting like $5, you know.
Right.
Who knows how it shook out in the end. What I'm saying is there's a way for someone to research this who's not me.
So
second.
Talking into a microphone
so get on
at this,
this
very moment.
Basically, is
this
what
can
you're
be
saying.
A learning moment for all of us. We'll use the hashtag "Pop Till We Drop" to continue
oh.
this.
Oh. Hey,
gotta get started on marketing early, guys.
We gotta start our brand.
Yeah, we'll have a logo meeting, intensive 12-hour logo seminar as soon as we're done here.
I can't wait. So I wanted to chat about our generation's obsession with the generation before us, with the 90s, I guess. I'm 22. I'm almost 23. And everyone I know is obsessed with, like, the early 90s and, I guess, late 90s. Mm. But we, you know, that's a lot of stuff I don't necessarily remember because
yeah.
I wasn't a teenager then or an adult
sure.
then, you know. So
yeah.
I think it's really interesting that we're all kind of so fascinated with the generation before us.
It's a pretty visually interesting time. Like the like cultural artifacts that survive are pretty fun. Like all the Nickelodeon stuff,
mm-hmm.
all of the great 90s cartoons, all of the like stupid products. I mean, you know, products today are just as stupid. Cartoons are just as colorful. But like for some reason there's, you know, that nostalgia factor is good. I follow like a 90s blog on Tumblr and it just posts like, you know, here's like a gif from a movie or like here's a song or here's like an ad or something, and it's like, you know, it's kind of a cool like cultural piece to dive in and look, you know. I can't explain why it's,
I think that would be arguable for like any decade though.
Sure.
Right, like I
though,
feel like that's why Mad Men's so
right.
intriguing, because mm-hmm. we get to see something that we're not, but I don't
I think like the 90s specifically, because it's like two decades ago, even though like we don't remember it. I mean, like there's that 20-year gap where it's always like when I was in high school, people were like, oh man, like the 80s, it's the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, we don't know anything about that, which made sense to me because we didn't know anything about it. So
right.
like we would fetishize that. And that was really cool because it was old.
Right. Totally unknown.
But yeah, but now that we've gone past, you know, the first decade of the 2000s, 20 years ago, I guess, is the 90s. And when that first became popular, I was like, oh man, am I old? Am I old now? Because this is, I was born then. And I remember these things, and they're not cool. They're, like, from my childhood. But that makes them cool, because they're old.
Well, I feel like with the whole idea, like, does that make me old now? Like, there's all of these, you know, articles, all of them mostly being BuzzFeed articles. But they're all saying, like, 20 things that will make you feel old. And it's all clips from the 90s. It's like, why do we need that? Like, is it validating in a way? Like, is it like, you know, now I'm an adult, you guys. Like, now we've graduated. Like, and now I'm an adult. Like, is it a good validation that we need? Or is it, you know, just like,
I'm sure that's part of it. Like, I mean, you know, all of the, like, millennial anxieties about, like, getting a job and, like, achievement and, like, you know, uncertainties about the future. So I guess it's kind of reassuring to be like, it's okay. You're a barista or whatever, but you are old.
Adult.
You're also old.
And it's also the first time that I feel like we've gotten to be openly nostalgic without kind of being so ridiculous about it. You know, it's like, oh yeah, last summer when I went to summer camp. Like now it's like, you know, maybe
a decade ago.
Right. Like there's these things that were happening and, you know, you can noticeably see changes in your life, you know, from that time to then. Mm-hmm. So I don't know with the whole nostalgia thing if it's being marketed to us or if it's true, because I know at least even just looking at like catalogs or like fashion, like it's so embedded in the last few seasons of fashion. Like it's all 90s, you know, platform shoes, plaid shirts. And it's like, is this, you know, my mom was cleaning out her closet and I found her old Doc Martens and I was like, yes, this is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, would I have thought that if that wasn't on trend?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think that it started with our generation starting to go back and being like, oh, man, like kids, you know, because those lists would start to come out of like things that we remember from being a kid and like, oh, dang, you know, especially when people started to graduate from college, like the people that were born at like 89 and the 90s and made those lists and they're like, oh, man, remember this? And then when that happened, marketers got a hold of it and they're like, oh, great way to sell stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up.
And those are just guaranteed like clickable, you know, like all those lists about the 90s are just like great clickbait.
Yeah.
So it's totally like maybe in the beginning it wasn't, you know,
but
now it certainly is. Like,
yeah. And nostalgia is a great way to market stuff.
I was thinking that it's the perfect time. Like, you know, if you're a kid and you live at home and then you turn 18 and you finally go away to college and then your parents start getting rid of all the stuff that they've had since you were a baby because they finally have time to pay attention to themselves and their home and like, you know, whatever.
Sorry, Mom and Dad
for wasting your time. No, and so I was thinking, you know, that's really when my parents started going through all of their old stuff and getting rid of it. And my brother and I just scooped all of it up. You know, there's sweatshirts that my dad used to wear when we were a baby that my brother was like, this is gold. And same thing, you know, with me and my mom's stuff. And I wonder if that happened just with everyone. Like, everyone was like, these things could be cool.
Right.
And now they're trendy. And then they were like, well, we can make things look like they were from that age. And you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
$75 t-shirts.
Right.
That kind of thing that look like, you know. I mean, certainly, like, all the reprint, like, Nirvana t-shirts and all of the, you know, Metallica gear you can still buy, you know.
Right.
I mean, you can get that at Target, too.
Right.
It's
but
not,
if you have an original.
Like, niche, you know. That's true. It also depends. I think it depends on how old your parents were. Because, like, my parents are probably older than most. Like, they kind of, like, came of age in, like, the 60s and 70s. So a lot of their, like, stuff that they put on hold to have children is like late 70s, early 80s. So it was a lot less glamorous than like, sweet.
Maybe you could bring that.
Dad
stuff
was really into grunge. Cool. And then, like, he had me. No, it was like my dad was really into like Van Morrison.
Right.
You know, still is. So, you know,
He's a great artist.
I got a sweet record collection out of the deal.
There you go.
Like the floodgates of stuff opened. But,
there you go.
You know,
speaking of the grunge thing, that's really nuts to me because, like, grunge in my mind was a thing until I was, like, a freshman in college because it, like, people would wear, like, flannels and leggings and like boots, and it wasn't like grungy, but there was definitely like this tinge of like grunge all throughout, like maybe not the early 2000s, but like once like 2010 hit, which was when I was a freshman in college.
Sure.
That started to come back like in 2009, 2010. And so like I feel like it kind of never left. And so when I was doing research to go to this 90s party that I went to, this like 90s dance party, I was looking up like, oh, you know, 90s fashion, because I have an idea, but I don't totally know. And so I looked it up, and like one of the pictures was this girl in like a flannel shirt and like holey jeans and like docks. And I was like, oh man, like as a flashback to like 4 years ago, me.
Like,
I wore that outfit like yesterday. I mean, that's right, just like, yeah, you know, that's right, what's in, that's what's on point right now.
Right.
I looked it up. Oh, actually, I did some. Let me get
She's
my
pulling out her notes.
My notes. All of the trends that are present now, like this right. season, sure. that have been, that were 90s fashion. All right. Overalls, bike shorts, bleached out hair, long hair on men, combat boots, parting your hair down the middle.
I did that too. Yeah.
Doc Martens, bike caps, like the little ones that messengers wear. JanSport.
Yep.
Flannel, platform shoes, crop tops, high-waisted skirts and shorts, and cutoff jeans. That's the trend
high-waisted
report.
High-waisted is a great trend.
Yeah.
I'm glad that is.
Are you into it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great. I wish there were more men's high-waisted things you could wear. Just saying.
That's super funny.
Just saying.
That list made me think of normcore, which is like the new fashionable thing. I guess it started like 3 years ago in New York City, right? But of course, you know, this is Minneapolis, so yeah, we're only
my counterpoint to that would be that it was just always in style waiting in the Midwest,
right?
I mean it's literally like people from New York are like, oh man, like baggy crew neck sweatshirts and like
right.
puffy
well,
jeans
things
like,
that don't fit you that
here,
are comfy,
you know?
Yeah, things that don't, like that your dad wore on vacation.
Oh my God!
When you were eight, you know, like that's what normcore is, and like that's what is fashionable. And so when you were listing that stuff off, like JanSport and like high waisted shorts and stuff like that, like all of that is like normcore stuff too. So I wonder if normcore has like a genesis in the 90s and was just kind of like waiting, like kind of like simmering,
sure,
in the background waiting.
Overalls are a good trend too.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Anything that leads to more comfort in fashion, down
yeah,
with it.
Yeah.
So yes. Down with it. Male caftans, I feel like, should be like just billowing. Maybe in 2 years, everything will just be billowing, and that'll be like the ultimate
That'd be rad.
Nostalgia.
Well, I'm waiting for like the futuristic, you know, when you used to watch those future movies, when especially women started to wear like sequin stuff and like metallic stuff, and that stuff is still kind of around. I mean, like, you know, you have little like splashes of sequins and,
sure.
and metals and stuff like that, but when people were wearing like leggings and like skin tight, you know, like sequin
weird
stuff,
kind of rubbery
yeah,
shirts,
I was like, here it comes, like this is the future fashion, like it's I'm ready.
The one trend that I'm totally over with the 90s revival is the high-waisted cutoff Levi shorts, because I'm really genuinely concerned that there is going to be no more full-length Levi pants.
Oh, people are destroying the stock of
all of them everywhere. Oh. Yes, they are like destroying.
Yeah,
and I don't like it. I'm worried. I'm genuinely worried.
Sure.
Yeah.
You gotta stockpile. That's a lot of money, though.
Is it my duty to do that? I'll take it.
Cultural archivist.
Yeah.
Preserving a time.
Just every time you see full-length ones, you just got to buy them and, like, hoard them.
I would, try to find them. Go to a thrift store and try to find them. I guarantee you will not be able to.
Sure. Good to know.
Yep.
I mean,
well, I'm going to be on the lookout now.
Yeah.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Yes.
This is like a good get-rich-quick scheme, except it's more like you stockpile now. And then in 20 years, when it's like, God, I wish I had some high-waisted, long-legged Levi's jeans.
No,
you could
it'll
be, like,
be when all of the
me.
Kids in the 2030s are doing
2010
dance parties, and they'll be man, I wish I had those Levi's cut-off shorts, and you'll be like,
hey,
yo, what's up?
I'm ready for you.
Mm-hmm.
Muto, massive unidentified terrestrial organism. It is, however, no longer terrestrial. It is airborne. Now, the world still thinks this was an earthquake, and it would be preferable that that remain so. Before we lost sight of it, it was headed east across the Pacific and had emitted enough EMP disruption to create havoc with our radar and satellite feeds and reduce us, for the moment, to a strictly visual pursuit. I emphasize for the moment, because we will get on our game and we will find this thing. It is imperative that we do so.
So the slew of movies that are coming out this summer, clearly not all of them, but a lot of them, like the one that comes to mind is Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, which is kind of like, I guess, almost like E.T., but not really. I forget the name of it, but it's like that. Like an alien comes to Earth and these kids are like, oh, what?
Oh, sure. Yeah,
I don't know what it's called.
I saw the preview.
Yeah, sure.
Don't know what it's called.
But the premise of these movies is that, you know, climate change has ruined or destroyed like part of the landscape or part of the city that these people live in, and so then they have to deal with that and like go forward. But in all of these movies and in books and stuff like that, like people are trying to avoid the words like climate change or global warming because it's cliched at this point, and so nobody wants to talk about it. It's boring. But the effects of it, which we already see now, are something that's really interesting to see in a movie because we will deal with them pretty shortly.
Sure.
And, like, kind of already have, like, all of the heat waves and all of the floods and all of those things. I mean, like,
extreme
that's,
weather.
Yeah, that's not unheard of anymore. So, anyway, this new genre, cli-fi, it's not set in the future and it's set in the present, and it's something that we've already somewhat dealt with in, like, smaller versions. And so I guess, like, do you think that will become like more popular, or do you think it will like resonate at all with anybody? Like, is that more meaningful to see than like a newscast that says, "Look, guys, like,
oh,
please
sure.
recycle."
I think. Well, okay, so I'm of the opinion that, like, first off, you know, climate change is terrible. You know, like, it's totally preventable. You know, something could have been done, but also, like, people aren't really doing anything about it. I don't really have a lot of faith in, like, the power of people to change.
Well, I think that,
things
it's
for the
been
better.
Said, yeah, I think it's been said that we can no longer change it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, a
it's
fact of
happen.
Life. So,
yeah.
Like, all of these movies are, and I mean, like, they're also the movies that are set, like, 12 years in the future. Like, not, you
right,
know,
yeah.
It's, like, the future, but not very far.
Right.
You know, so instead of, like, aliens are coming, it's, like, Earth sucks. We gotta, like, figure out how to get out of here. Or, like, you know, what was the Elysium? It's like, there's no more food. Like, there are no jobs on Earth. We have to
right.
go to, like, the rich people land. Or, you know, just all these movies where, like, the Earth is just kind of, like, messed up.
Yeah.
I feel like they're branded as science fiction, even though, like, reality will reveal itself to be very close to that.
Right.
Very soon, you know, in the next, like, 100 years or whatever, things will be, like, completely unrecognizable, they say, to, like, people who are alive now. You know, it's just, like, it's very true. Like, I'm totally down with cli-fi. Love all those movies. Natural disaster movies. Love them. But I feel like they're accurate, you know, and people are not giving them credit where they're due.
Well, I think that's what the genre might become in like 5 years is like
sure.
it no longer becomes like, oh, that's never going to happen. And it's more a matter of like, oh, that happened.
Right. There's going to be like a really sad tone of movies. They're just like, well, look what we did. Great work, everyone.
I do not like those movies. I would never go to see those movies in the theaters, and I am not interested in as a genre at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't want to watch movies where everyone dies, and then also, like, even if it's, you know, entirely fictional, I wouldn't want to see that, and knowing that's our impending doom, like,
sure.
that makes me question, like, do I want to procreate? Like, do I just
right.
like, that's too heavy on me. When I watch movies, I want them to be funny. I want Zac Efron to be in it, and
well,
I don't.
We're all in agreement there.
We're all in agreement there. I just don't want to deal with that. And I mean, that might just be, you know, my willing ignorance. I don't know. I just,
well, no, I mean, I wonder if it speaks to like then the impact that those movies are gonna have. Because, like, if you won't go see it because everybody dies and, like, it's not that far from reality for you, like, that's probably what they're trying to say, I mean, without being quite so didactic about it, you know what I mean? Like, they're not saying, you know, Godzilla's going to come and, like, kill everyone.
And maybe that's what that says about you, is that you want to, like, stay in our current reality and help to fix it. You know, you want to, like...
I think you're giving me a lot of credit.
I'm just saying, like, for people like me, I'm just sitting there in the theater and I'm like, yep, can't wait. So stoked. Like, this is going to be... weird.
Dude,
and
I'm ready
awesome,
for like the
know,
big
like,
flood that covers no. all of America.
I feel like it's a good like training. Like there are all these training videos that are being put out for like how to deal with the future.
Yeah, that's true.
That just made me sound totally crazy. I'm not like a doomsday hoarder.
No,
or
I just saw
like,
a running shirt the other day that said the only reason why I run is to make sure I'm not the first one that dies in the zombie apocalypse. I mean,
sure.
it was paraphrased, but that's what it
right.
Sure,
yeah. I mean,
but
the
I was
thing
like,
about
yeah, totally
the thing about that is I'm done with the zombie thing. The zombie thing is over for me, and I feel like the zombie thing was started when like consumer culture was like a big deal, you know, and everybody like hated on consumer culture, and they were like, oh man, like that was the thing to hate.
Sure.
So like zombies. Oh, and so now the thing to hate is climate change. And so like that's about to become cliche. So probably me in like 3 years, I'm going to be like, oh God, if I see another t-shirt that's like, oh, I'm only running because I don't want to be the first one to die when climate change happens. Like, I'm like, oh God, I'm so over it. Like,
sure.
That's going to be me in 3 years.
So you would rather watch a movie that has everyone dying from climate change than everyone dying from zombies?
I feel like there are better climate change movies than there are zombie movies.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
I totally disagree. Zombieland? Are you kidding me?
I didn't see that one. Have I seen? You know, Night of the Living Dead, World War Z.
Walking Dead? Is that a movie?
See, I haven't watched that yet.
TV show.
I haven't gotten to Walking Dead yet.
I've only seen the first three or four episodes of that.
Oh.
And then because I was watching it with my friend, and she had it, and I didn't, and... so then I just didn't watch it again.
I just don't want to watch things where everybody dies. It's like, it's just, why?
Well, what if somebody just die? You know, like, my thing with the zombie movies, like, yeah, most people die. But, like, in the climate change movies, like, a lot of people die. But, like, usually, you know, the protagonist doesn't die. Like, the protagonist and his or her family is
so you're
still
just
alive. Well,
you're just totally biased against everyone else. It's
yeah,
like,
you're just like,
it's like John Cusack, Brad Pitt, you can live, but everyone else, no.
You're hoping you'll be the protagonist in your story, and that's not... gonna be the case. I'm sorry.
Whoa,
like, I mean, not that it won't be, but it's highly
no,
likely
you're right,
that
you're,
you won't
well,
be the
I mean,
protagonist.
I think the interesting thing is going and being like, oh my God, that could happen. That
sure.
could happen.
But
it's
why?
Whereas, like, with zombies, like, that's, I just truly don't think that would ever happen, which, you know, maybe my mind just isn't big enough to understand that, like, zombies could happen. But, like, it just seems so much more realistic to me to understand that, like, you know, San Francisco is going to flood and New York City is going to flood and then all those people are going to come to Minneapolis.
Yeah, sure. But the fact that that's totally possible makes me never want to see those movies. Like, I don't
sure.
even...
You want
sure,
to experience
yeah.
it with fresh eyes the first time, like, when it happens.
No,
so
I don't
want to
be alive
no
for that.
Spoilers,
I don't,
no spoilers.
I don't want to know that that's even a possibility. I just don't want to...
Sure.
I don't want to flood my happy brain with those things.
Sure.
I don't.
Right.
And, you know, that Pompeii movie is coming out, and it's like,
oh,
you
yeah.
know
nice.
That every single person dies in that movie. You know... we have evidence that the entire city was buried and everybody
right.
burned to death and
right.
got suffocated by ashes. Like, why would anyone want to go see that movie?
I
don't
think
get it.
Maybe the people who would go see that is not, like, because you clearly know, like, about that story, but I think maybe, like, people who don't know about that story would go and, like, learn
sure.
something
it's
from
kinda,
it.
It's
kind of
like
know, but...
Titanic, you know?
Yeah, you know that everybody
but people
dies.
Go to Titanic. Like, all, you know, 2/3 of the people in the Titanic
huh.
died, and everyone went to that. See, all the cli-fi movies are super, like nihilist and like realistic,
right,
you know,
yeah.
realistic about the future. It's very like cold and you know,
right.
you know, not always necessarily scientific, but it's just like, this is the way it is, you know, kind of thing. But there's very rarely ever like an environmentalist tone to it. Like none of these movies actually propose any solutions or
right,
anything like
yeah,
that. No. The extent of it is always like, we didn't listen. And that's like, you know, that explains the whole thing.
Right.
The movie that did come out this year that was like a strong, hardcore environmentalist movie was Noah, the Darren Aronofsky movie.
Oh, yeah.
That was like hardcore, like humans messed it up. Like
right.
we had this beautiful thing and we ruined it. Like blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, it departs into kind of like the biblical story of like,
right.
you know. Righteous flooding or whatever.
Right, yeah.
And a total like climate change, you know, very, very obvious and like needed to be said messages in there, but I feel like it was, you know, it's kind of written off as like a religious picture, you know?
Right. And
it
had very, I would never see that movie.
It's like, I feel like that is the kind of cli-fi movie where it's, I don't know. It also, in all fairness, the solution to that, the problems in that movie is just like, God floods the world and kills everyone except for Noah and his family. So that's like not quite the solution that anybody wants.
In that story, but like, Shelby would be Noah.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm going to every cli-fi movie I'm clearly going to be the protagonist. So everyone else in this, they're like,
the one chosen
sorry, guys.
By God to be Noah. Yeah,
I'd be a llama.
That's
get on the arc.
I don't know. That's like a lot of pressure, guys. I don't. Oof. But yeah, I think like maybe next year, like cli-fi will be like, you know, environmentalist films that aren't like that, that aren't heavy-handed, because you can't. I mean, like I said, you can't say climate change or global warming anymore without somebody somewhere rolling their eyes, truly, because it's tired.
Yeah, or like a controversy erupting, you know,
right,
about
yeah.
like people, you know, people who still don't believe that climate change is a real thing. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I think the solution is just to cast Zac Efron, the aforementioned Zac Efron, in an environmentalist
movie.
Zac
Efron is the protagonist in a cli-fi film, I will probably
you would go.
Minute one.
Wow.
Shirt is off. He proceeds to recycle.
Well,
and,
he
like,
says,
stop.
It's so hot. It's so hot.
Right.
Heat waves.
Right. I can't wear any clothes.
Climate change.
I feel like we're describing a porno now. Like, this is just like it's immediately gone off the rails. NPR endorsed Zac Efron. It's like Garrison Keillor, Wits, The Current, and Zac Efron.
Zac Efron.